Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Once upon a time, I used to have to give the numbers out in this radio show. No longer. We have that new introduction. We give out the 391-3166 number. But that doesn't matter because everyone's conditioned to call the show. 2 minutes to 12, so we got a full board. Looks like we got Charles, David, Don, Barbara, Kathy, Jan, Joanne, and Delora all set up. So just stand by through the topic, and you're guaranteed to be on the air with yours truly. And you know my name, right? Boris Badenov. Okay, hey, welcome to the Friday TGIF edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. And if this is 1988, it's Super Bowl weekend. And even though I have been published in the newspaper as picking the Broncos to beat the Redskins this weekend, I do see that as a very close game. I want you to know this, which means the Broncos may only win by three, if that, maybe even one. And, you know, these betting odds are giving the Redskins up to 4 points. So they say, Farley, does that mean we should bet the Redskins? And the question I have for you, is it metaphysically ethical to bet or gamble at all? And the answer is no. So don't bet the game, enjoy it, but at least it should be a real barn burner. Okay, the topic today is power in the natal chart, looking for unafflicted planets and trying to figure out what they mean. Once in a while, as you're analyzing an astrology chart, you will come across a planet that, voila, has no squares or oppositions or inconjunctions or any of what we would call karma aspects attached to it. What does that mean, Farley? Well, it means that there's a dharma here. It means that you were a good puppy in a past life. You actually did something decent for somebody somewhere. Somehow you saved a life. You might have saved many. You might have reached out and helped someone. Some people might look in their charts and they'll go, Farley, I have no unafflicted planets. Aha, the rogue, the true rogue priest. But actually, today's topic is a fun topic because if you are one of the lucky callers on today's show, then we can try to help find an unafflicted planet, or maybe you can zero in on one and that way ask me what it means by sign and house. And I have a couple. I have my Mars is unafflicted in the 12th. In fact, it's got a sextile on it from Mercury, from the Sun, and from Pluto. There's three. And then it has a sextile on it from Jupiter. There's four, and it's conjunct my ascendant and Neptune. So my Mars in the 12th is beautiful. If I was a woman, I'd probably be married by now. But anyway, also my Jupiter is also graced, except for the fact it's retrograde, which, you know, you gotta accept that's my only retrograde planet. But it is in the second house with four trines coming from Mercury, Pluto, Saturn, and the Sun in Leo, Jupiter in Sag in my chart, and then sextiles coming from my ascendant and Mars. So I have two unafflicted planets, actually three, because my planet Uranus only has one sextile on it from Saturn. So from what I can remember, I have three unafflicted planets, which is a lot. And that's why I guess sometimes I do consider myself blessed and a lucky guy with tremendous rebounding potential and tremendous potential as far as reversing trauma and negativity in my life and standing up and carrying on with the whole thing. That's why one of my favorite songs in history by Kansas is Carry On, My Wayward Son. You might have heard that one. Big question I have for you is, have you heard the word Aristology? Here's a big one. Now, wait a minute. I should have a contest here to see if anybody knows what Aristology is. But Aristology is the science of eating well and eating the proper foods for your sun sign, or if you have a focus of a particular astrological energy in your chart, then that is considered valuable as far as that solar effect. So eating as far as your sun sign is one good way to eat well and stay healthy. Now, some friends of mine called Zodiac Publishing have just released 12 outstanding Zodiac cookbooks that I am very excited about, and with your zodiacal needs in mind, and I have a heavy Leo Scorpio in my chart, and Libra, so I'd probably get the Leo Scorpio Libra to really eat properly, and I have a story for you. I'm really cute, you know. I did two funny things yesterday. This is a riot. You know, I have a little parakeet named Bartholomew Mackenzie Masterson IV. This is a female. This is a kissing female. You come anywhere near her with your finger and you get kissed, but Bart is one of the cutest, well-trained, most intelligent parakeets I've ever met. Well, I went ahead and took a crystal cluster that's a little bit bigger than a big softball, and when Bart was sleeping last night, covered the cage and put that crystal above Bart while she was sleeping. Now, can you imagine someone taking a crystal about five times your size and putting it above your head while you sleep. I thought, boy, that bird really must have had some kind of major dream last night. I was just laughing about that. Power in the natal chart. There's a couple of ways to find power or powerful people in the natal chart, because when I look at an astrology chart at this level of my current growth, I typically look at a chart to try to reveal what a soul has been through in the sum total of all of their past lives. So as far as I'm concerned, and you can quote me on this if you'd like, the natal chart is a reincarnation profile that delineates the sum total path of your soul throughout infinity. Heavy, huh? So when you look at a natal chart, if you really want to feel the pulse of the power behind your soul, you have to recognize that squares and oppositions will reveal karma, or where you've slipped, where you've fallen, things you've done to yourself revealed by squares, which also reveal low self-esteem, being too hard on yourself, self-destructive behavior, stress, anxiety, depression, alcoholism, drug addiction, whatever you've done to hurt yourself or hate yourself will be revealed by squares. So those are areas that you need to work on to learn how to care and love for yourself, and you can almost erase those squares as your self-esteem grows. You better know I have four squares on my Scorpio moon. There was a time that I didn't even like to look in the mirror. Now I look in the mirror and I go, all right, there's that superstar in my heart. But anyway, you got to know how to love yourself. Otherwise, you'll never know how anyone else could possibly love you. That's a problem that people have with all their relationships. They get involved with other people and they don't even like themselves, and it's like a dead end. The oppositions, as far as revealing power in the natal chart, will always reveal the warrior in us. Because as far as I'm concerned, I don't have any oppositions now. But my good buddy Andy Lopez tells me I was on Leif Erikson's staff, one of the Vikings, right? And he said I probably released a few people from their bodies at that point. But I don't have any oppositions now. But when you see oppositions in their chart, this is interference karma on someone else's life, where you literally did something to affect one other's destiny. And many times, because there's been so much war and so much violence and so much killing and murdering and maiming on this planet, the littlest thing can earn an opposition. The funny thing now is that people that have oppositions now sometimes are some of the more gentler, sensitive, nurturing people you'll ever meet. But then there's a few people like Mike Tyson or Dexter Manley, you know, or Larry Holmes or Muhammad Ali that have oppositions, and then they try to absolve this karma in the ring. They try to channel their violent part of their natures and their aggressive behavior, which people with oppositions can have. There can be a sleeping dragon inside people with oppositions. So they are given the test to try to avoid getting too close to people that can actually incur violence or aggression on them as a return of this energy. We also talked last week about how people with grand trines, grand squares, grand crosses, T-squares, and fingers of God also are very powerful souls that have chosen to absolve or attempt to absolve a grand portion of karma from numerous past lives, maybe 10, 20, even 30, depending on how many grand crosses and grand squares and grand trines and fingers of God a person has in their chart. My mother has two grand squares, two grand crosses, two grand trines in her chart. My pal Roger's got a grand square, a grand cross, and two grand trines in the Star of David. I mean, these people, you know, when you see trines and sextiles, these are what I call reflections of blessings, where you actually did things to help others. Now, if you look at your chart and you don't see any trines or sextiles, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. If you see a lot of squares and oppositions, then what you will see is you will see an attempt to absolve negative vibration incurred in past lives. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have been a bad person all the time, but the test is so severe that you decided before this lifetime not to manifest certain trines and sextiles that might help you. Like my chart is so basic, I've got four trines and about 10 sextiles, and I got five squares. So boom, you know, like my karma, if we look at my chart, if a metaphysician looks at my chart, it's like, Farley, we know your karma is obviously with women and emotions and yourself and self-esteem and such and career. It's kind of focused. But the fun thing about really becoming an astrologically inclined person is to search through your chart and see if you can find certain zones or areas of your chart that carry no affliction, where if you can find a single planet. Do you have any planets that are unafflicted in your chart? I'm wondering. Do you? You know, some people sit there and go, no, I don't have an. Okay, so sit there and try to search and see if you have any planets at all in your chart that have no squares and no oppositions on them at all. And some of you won't have this at all, but if you're like me, and I consider myself lucky to have three planets unafflicted, then you'll be able to find one or two. I'm sitting here with one of my most famous students, Sherry Taylor, and I'll tell you something. You must have been a warrior priest. She's got oppositions and T-squares all over this chart, but thank God she's got a strong block of some Cancer Scorpio power to protect her and make her a good teacher and a good educator. But still, we'll look at your chart later, Sherry. But still, if you can find a planet in your chart that doesn't have any squares or oppositions on it, and we're not talking about floating planets. Once in a while, you'll have a floating planet that is void of aspects. Now, that, you're getting scary here, because when you have a planet that's unaspected, no one knows what that means. It's like there's a planet dangling out there. It's not even affected by the gravity of the solar system for that time you were born. So it's almost like separate from the rest of the planets. But how do you find areas in your chart that have unafflicted planets? Well, if you have an astroscope or a sextoscope and you look at your aspect list, what you want to do is check to see if you have any paragraphs there where planets just have trines or sextils on them. And you can X out the planets that have squares or oppositions on them, because that means they're afflicted. And if a planet has no squares or oppositions, then that is a blessed, unafflicted area of your chart, which means a great dharma was earned from a past life. For example, because I do have a 12th house Mars unaffected and a second house Jupiter also unafflicted and unaffected by stress, then that means that I might have done something philosophically in the past to teach, to share, and to bring some light to others to help them. The part of my chart that is afflicted means that I was also affected by selfish personal obsessions. It's like being a priest one day and very philosophical, and then going on a sex rampage. You know, not raping, actually, but, you know, we're talking about wild. It's like somebody can be a good person on the one hand, but on the other hand might have a sexual karma where their passion level is a bit too high. Or they might be somebody, on the one hand, is real good in front of the masses, but in personal relationships or with their family, there may be a little yelling and screaming going on. See, so usually everybody does have a cross to bear somewhere in their chart, but if we can find unafflicted planets in your chart, then at least we can focus on some power and some area in your chart of ease, that whenever there's a transit to that area of your chart, then we're talking about lucky days and happy days and the best days of your life. So that's really a lot of fun. Like I say, not everybody is going to have this unafflicted planetary aspect in their chart. And if you don't, the next best thing to look at is stelliums in your chart, two or three or four or more planets in a grouping that have two or three or four or more trines to them. And those areas would be the next best thing that we would be focusing on as far as power is concerned. Because I know from what I've learned that trines definitely mean that you did something fantastic in a past life, or you couldn't earn that zone of grace or that zone of ease or that zone of benefit in your life. So even though you might have two planets in your chart that have two, three oppositions on them, if you have two, three trines at the same time, that can help. Now, I know this is an advanced show, and once in a while we go back and forth from basic to advanced. But it's like a tennis game. The best thing about figuring out what your unafflicted planets mean is really, it's like looking for a wild card in your life. And I think the happiest moment of my life is when I got a reading and my astrologer, Donna, looked at me and said, "Farley, your Jupiter has four trines on it and two sextils." I said, "What does that mean?" And she goes, "Well, you know, you're a pretty happy guy, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Very philosophical. Yeah, you like to travel. Yeah." She said, "These are all bonuses. You are like given this edge in life, happiness, optimism, confidence, ability to be mobile, because I have an unafflicted Jupiter." Let's go over what some of the planets mean. An unafflicted sun sign, like if your sun has no squares or oppositions, are wonderful for self-realization and identity. These are people that are strong-willed. You see some of these people walking around with Arnold Schwarzenegger bodies, even women, right? These are people that are so strong-willed that they can keep it together. I have a square on my moon, so sometimes I slip there. On my sun, that is, too. An unafflicted moon are usually people with trines and sextils on their moons emotionally are stronger, more stable, you know, have much more of a dharmic relationship with their mothers. See, when you have squares and oppositions on your moon, sometimes the mother is an enemy from the past and someone who needs to make a peace with. But if you have the trines and sextils, this could be your best friend as your mommy. It's like, "Hey, Mom, I'm home," you know, and it's really fun, you know, when you have that kind of stuff. Now, if you have an unafflicted Mercury, we're talking genius or high intellect, are the ability to be given the opportunity to communicate a lot easier and a lot better than most people and to be psychologically more stable. I want to admit something to you. Most psychologists and psychotherapists you find intentionally get into this area because of their own personal instabilities. So you'll find a lot of people that are therapists do have afflicted Mercuries in their chart. Take Farley. I've got trine to Jupiter from Mercury and a square to the moon from Mercury. So I can be either very, very stable or totally a lunatic. But anyway, at least not on the radio, I hope. But still, a blessed Mercury or an unafflicted Mercury many times can reveal the highest level of some of the greatest communicators and some of the greatest teachers also. It's like, I wonder, Miss Bowers back in U-City, Missouri, 1963, she flunked everyone in English, even my sister, me, Tennessee Williams. Would you believe that? And this woman had to have a toasted Mercury. I'm telling you, she was a horrible teacher. But look what happened. I got a bachelor's in English and speech, so it was a challenge for me. And then the unafflicted Venus, the blessed Venus, obviously is a very generous, philanthropic soul. This is the type of person that if they made a fortune in a past life, or if they were a humble ruler, then they are returned to this life with blessed finance. A lot of us that have trouble making money or saving money or keeping money, we could have been thieves or con artists or ripoff artists in past lives, and this is the lesson. You know, the money burns a hole in your pocket right when you get it. But once in a while, a woman, you know, will meet a man and see he has Venus, trine Jupiter, Mars, and sextile Saturn, and she's like, wow, I know he's married already, but still, what a catch. And a lot of times you'll find men with blessed Venuses married, that's right, or in commitment. There's more stability in relationships with women if you're a gay woman or a man with an unafflicted Venus. So this is power, obviously, and it shouldn't be abused. Obviously, if a man has trines in his Venus, he's not going to cheat on his wife anyway, because he didn't get those trines from past lives from being a cheater. But, you know, you can blow your karma, too, out of the water, so you got to watch that. And then, let's say you have a blessed Mars, like I have, with your sextiles and trines on it. It gives you the ability sometimes to be healthier and to have a more positive life force, a more positive attitude on life. And as a woman, a blessed Mars can also offer relationship ability, same for gay men. I have found a lot of gay men who have totally blown out of the water Venuses, right? Most of them do, oppositions and squares, so they try to get close to a woman, it just doesn't work, right? But a lot of them have those trines on their Mars. So astrologically, it is logical for them to be gay. Astrologically, it is logical, that rhymes. Same with women. Their Marses are totally afflicted, and their Venuses have a few extra trines or sextiles on it, so it's more logical for them to be gay. It's like taking the course of least resistance in your chart. And then if you're somebody like me that has a blessed Jupiter with no afflictions on it, then you are truly the philosopher and the freedom fighter, the justice-oriented person, the college-level teacher perhaps, someone that loves foreigners and foreign countries just like Farley, and someone that is hopefully optimistic and confident with life. And then once in a while we'll find these turkeys, right, with a blessed Saturn. I was thinking, what does this mean? This gal has no karma, right? I'll tell you what, once in a while you will meet somebody with a blessed Saturn, and it does mean their karma is not quite as stringent as the rest of us. I have seen people just flow through a Saturn return down the Colorado River, right? No rapids, no problem. And you'll see a couple of trines on their Saturn with a sextile, no squares, no oppositions. So for them, turning 30 is not near as painful, or turning 60 might not be near as painful as it is for some of us. So, yeah, once in a while you find that power in the Saturn, too. And then the blessed Uranus, power in the chart from having a Uranus with trines and sextiles, where, you know, I'm not patting myself in the back because I just have one little sextile on my Uranus, but the more trines and sextiles you do find on the Uranus, then the more higher level of knowledge and intellect and technical mind. You know, I'm like one of these guys that can sit at a computer for 10, 20 hours, you know, just go pop, 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 and just punch it in. And that turns me on. That's like good sex. You know? So they go, what are you doing, Farley? Well, I'm playing Legacy of the Ancients. They go, well, what's that? You know, but when you have a blessed Uranus, it's like a scientist aspect. That's why I do consider myself very scientific. And it's the true form of the astrologer and the humanitarian and the best friend, or somebody that considers friends very important, the good friend, dependable friend. And that's very important. Somebody that is a goal-oriented person, that is very much into accomplishment and can be gifted with accomplishment. Then the blessed Neptune is somebody, usually power in the chart from having trines and sextiles only on the Neptune, can bring about a high spirit, high priest or high priestess from a past life, extremely psychic aspects. Now, I want to meet a channel medium with three trines on their Neptune in Scorpio, right? Oh, baby, then you're talking about getting some validity from the future here. Maybe that's God. But you don't see too many blessed Neptunes, right? Remember in the 50s, Uranus was square Neptune for hundreds of millions of people born? But once in a while, you will find that. So a blessed Neptune is very, very sensitive, very, very intuitive. And then the blessed Pluto, trines and sextiles on Pluto with no squares or oppositions, of course, is the highest form of the wizard, that I would call that, the occultist, the human behavioralist. True answers and informations about life's effects, life's traumas, life's rehabilitation, metamorphosis and transformation, and the ability to metamorphosize and change seems easy to these people, and also very, very deeply, deeply intense with deep knowledge that is way beyond this world and beyond this dimension. I have a Jupiter trine Pluto, but I have a moon square it too. Darn, I almost, you know, if I didn't have that Scorpio moon, I would have been probably some kind of eggshell. But anyway, at least I have some support in my chart. Now, don't forget, I'm not saying that squares and oppositions are bad, because squares and oppositions are the college-level courses that you have chosen to complete and honor in order to grow for this lifetime. So without them, you wouldn't be here. You never see a chart void of squares and oppositions. But just remember that trines and sextiles on planets are very dharmic, and they do reveal deeds from past lives, and they also reveal power in the natal chart, or where I would say your gift is, or where your blessing or your benefit, your advantage is. And if you don't have any, I have some crying towels in the other room. No problem. I'll give you one of mine. This is KFOX Radio, 93.5 FM in Redondo Beach, where you can hear the Astrology Hour weekdays at 12 noon. We do stay on the air due to your public support.